This is Part B of the 12 Steps to Covenant Law, Number 1. Now we're looking at Exodus 19 again. And so now the people are going to be confronted by God when he comes down on Mount Sinai. And he told them, don't come and touch the mountain. Don't go near it. And he gave them plenty of warning, so they heeded the counting the cost here. We'll see a little later, there's more counting the cost when it comes to the finality of the covenant. But we're just going to cover this part here first. So, let's pick it up here, verse 15. And he, that is Moses, said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not approach a woman. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was exceeding loud, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Now, this was a good cause to really count the cost. See? So Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the base of the mountain, and Mount Sinai was smoking, all of it, because the Lord came down upon it in fire, and the smoke of it went up like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the sound of the trumpet sounded long and became very strong, Moses spoke, and God answered him. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and he went up. So then he warns them again, because this is going to be a signal event, which we'll see a little later. We'll come back here again. So he said, go down, command the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priest also who come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you commanded us, saying, set bounds, or that is boundaries, around the mountain and sanctify it. So the Lord said, away, get down, only you shall come up, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priest and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. And Moses went down and spoke to the people. So here they counted the cost. This time it was convincing, you know, much more convincing than other places. Okay, now let's come to Luke 14, and here is the chapter on counting the cost. Now, this is quite different than back there to listen to the words of God as he spoke the Ten Commandments, and we will see later about the words and commitment and belief and all of that. But here we come to Luke 14, and many people were following Jesus, and many of them really wanted to, how should we say, come along with him, because it was all exciting with all the healing and all the preaching and all the people and everything. So verse 25, Luke 14, and great multitudes were coming with him. And he turned and said to them, now if you want to follow me, you got to count the cost. He didn't say that, but we'll see what the cost is. So he wants you to know that this is not a circus event. He wants you to know that this is not a publicity stunt. He wants you to know this is not jumping on the bandwagon type of thing. No, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and in addition his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now that means to love God more than them. Now, that's a pretty heavy cost. A lot of people, when they come to this, turn and go the other way. Then he also says, and whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. It means you can't be a follower, believer in Jesus. And that's why there's so much Christianity out here, which is just like the world, because it is of the world with the name Christian attached to it. So he says, verse 28, for which one of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost? You've got to figure it all out, whether he has sufficient for its completion. Now, you can have things, and it's always this way. Whenever you get into some kind of building project, it always costs more. So you've got to have the money from some place to do it. Count the cost, whether he has sufficient for its completion. Lest perhaps, after he has laid the foundation and he is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Now, when we were up in Idaho, we drive around to visit the brethren. Dwarfs go with me on some of these long trips. And I remember one house we came across, and it wasn't, I don't recall if it was someone we were going to visit or not. But here, he dug the foundation for the basement, cemented it all in for the basement, had that all ready to go. Then he wasn't able to finish it, so he put a roof on top of the basement and had stairs going down into it. And it had been there for years. For years. And it's just like here. Everyone who went by said, well, I wonder when, you know, Zeke is going to finish his house over here or not. Okay. Now here's another one. Or what king, when he goes out to engage another king in war, does not first sit down and take counsel whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him who's coming against him with 20,000? See? And notice here the enemy. So you have to count the cost against the enemy. See? And Adam and Eve did not do that. They let the enemy in to take advantage. If not, while his enemy is still far off, he sends ambassadors and desires the terms for peace. In the same way also, each one of you who does not forsake all that he possesses cannot be my disciple. That doesn't mean you have to give up everything you have, but you have to count everything that you have as nothing compared to God. So there's counting the cost. Now, after the cost, counting the cost then, comes words of the covenant, commitment, and belief. Words of the covenant, commitment, and belief. Now, what happened with Adam and Eve? Well, the words of the covenant were enacted, weren't they? They were expelled from the garden, weren't they? And they did not have access to the tree of life. Their nature was changed, and so was the environment. That's the consequences of it. Because if you don't believe God, if you don't have the commitment, you don't believe the words of God, then the penalty is going to come. Noah believed God. Let's start with Noah. Let's come back here. Words, commitment, and belief. God told him what he was going to do, destroy all life. He would begin it again with him on the other side. Yes, verse 22. Chapter 6, Noah did so according to all that God commanded him. See, he found grace in the sight of God. He believed him. He acted upon it. He made the commitment. He did it. So then God gave him more instructions. Now here's the key. After you have the proposal and the agreement and the counting of the cost, then you have more words, more details that come along to tell you more about what is going to happen and what God expects. So you've got counting the cost, commitment and belief, and the words. So here are the words. Chapter 7 and verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, "You and all your house shall come into the ark. For you, I have seen righteous before me in this generation." Now here are the details. "You shall take with you every clean animal by sevens, male and female, and take two of the animals that are not clean, male and female." Of course, you know, this tells you about clean and unclean meats, doesn't it? Which tells you that they were eating clean and unclean meats. Noah, being righteous, was only eating clean meats. The sinners were probably eating everything. Oh, I saw on the Travel Channel, this fellow that goes around and eats all of these weird oddball things. He went to Vietnam again. And he had iguana. They went out, hunted iguana. Guy climbed up in a tree and shook the tree. The iguana came down. They got it. And they were all happy. Oh, this is going to be really good. And the stuff that they had iguana. They had also fresh little baby birds that they deep fried, and everything was crunchy when you ate it. And then they had silkworms, all nicely deep fried, and they were really crunchy and delicious. That's not as bad as the one when he made his first trip to Vietnam, and he went into a restaurant, and what they specialized in was serpents. And what they would do is bring out the live snake in a basket and bring it out and let you look at it. And you select the snake that you want. And the custom was, when you selected the snake that you want, they killed it right in front of your eyes and cut out the heart, and you ate it while it was still beating. I'm glad I had an empty stomach. Well, fondue steak dipped in cheese. That's wonderful. There was a movie years ago called Mondo Cane. I think some of these things are even worse. Then it also showed where he went to Africa. And he went to a tribe where they drank blood. And he drank blood. And they put a stick down in the bottle where they had captured the blood, and they were drinking out of it. And there was some coagulated blood that stuck on the end of the stick. And that was a special treat for the little children. And they gobbled it up like children would eat chocolate in a civilized society. So they knew the laws of clean and unclean meat. Same way with the birds. "Also take of the fowls of the air by sevens, male and female, to keep their kind alive upon the face of all the earth. For in seven more days I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from off the face of the earth every living thing that I have made." And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Bam. See? Those are the words. You have to have belief, and then we can add to that obedience. So we can have commitment, belief, words, obedience. Now let's look at Israel. Let's look at Israel. Let's come back here to Exodus 20 again. And here's how God started it out with the children of Israel. Now you see, it's the same way with a lot of people. the words to have everlasting life sounds really good. To have the blessing of God sounds really good. So when God proposed to them that you're going to be a holy nation to me above all the people of the earth, that said, great, okay, we'll do whatever God says. Now then, when you tell God, yes, I will, it may not be exactly as you figured. Exodus 20 is very clear. He spoke the Ten Commandments. We all know them. We've memorized them. And if you haven't memorized them, then you ought to. Now, verse 18. When God was done, all the people clapped hands and said, yes, Lord, what else would you have us do? No, that's not what happened. Verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw, they trembled and stood far off. They did not want to make a personal commitment to God. This is the hearing, the beginning of the hearing of the words of the covenant. They didn't want to make the commitment. They didn't know whether they believed God or not, because it was not what they expected. And always remember that. There are going to be things that will come up that you do not expect. But that doesn't change the covenant. And so the people stood far off. Yes. Verse 19. No. And they said to Moses, you speak with us, for we'll listen to a man, we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to prove you. Does God test all of us? Of course. And so that his fear may be before your faces, so that you may not sin. Well, that would be a good thing, right? Yes. And the people stood far off, and Moses drew near to the thick clouds where God was. And the Lord said to Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I've talked with you from heaven. Now then, here comes more words and more details, because they said, yes, all that the Lord has said, we will do. And now come more details. Just like with us. When we repent, commit, believe, and are baptized, then we find out that there is more that we need to do. So here it is here. Verse 23, you shall not make with me gods of silver, nor shall you make gods of gold for yourself. For yourself. What was the first thing they did when Moses didn't come off the mountain? Made gods of gold, right? Yes. You shall make an altar of earth to me. You shall not sacrifice on it your burnt offerings, or you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings, your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come to you and will bless you. And if you will make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of cut stone, nor shall you lift up your tool upon it. You have defiled it. Because what happens when people start doing that? They started adding all kinds of things to it. God didn't want it. And you shall not go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness shall not be exposed. All right. Then we have chapter 21, chapter 22, chapter 23 of all the laws that God gave. These are the judgments or the statutes that God gave. Has to do with slaves, has to do with murder, has to do with causing a premature birth because there's fighting, It has to do with losing an eye or a tooth or a foot or being burned or wound. And they would go to the judge, and it wasn't, if you lose an eye, you come here and we gouge out your eye. No, you go to the judge, and the judge makes a decision, what is that eye worth? And then they're to receive compensation. All right?
That's even
the same today. Yeah. They lay a price for missing limbs and so forth. Now we find verse 22 that if there is a miscarriage, then according as the woman's husband shall lay upon him, he shall pay as the judges determine. That's what it is. God is not into gouging out eyes and cutting off hands and so forth. But capital sin of life for life, you give life for life. Now then, chapter 22 talks about stealing. Let's just read a couple of these here. Verse 1, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox. Good deterrent, wouldn't you think? No jails. Don't put them in jail. You make restitution. 4 sheep, 4 sheep. If a thief is found breaking in and is struck so that he dies, no blood shall be shed for him. Yet in today's world, if you shoot someone coming into your house to steal and rob and plunder and maybe kill you, you can be arrested. If the sun is risen upon him and he lives, there shall be no blood shed for him. He shall make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Now that's what you call indentured recompense. You pay them back. See, God's way is no prisons. You either compensate them for the injury. If you committed murder, you give your life. Anything less than that is you give as the judges determine. And if you steal, you pay back. Just think how quickly you would stop all car theft if you would say, 5-4 a Cadillac. You steal a Cadillac, high price car, or a Lincoln, Lexus, they say they're cheap now, but anyway. Mercedes-Benz, BMW, 5-for-1, or you're sold, and you work for whatever you work for, and you pay back. Just to show us the exact opposite of what's happening in America. In California, if a woman comes and has a baby here, it becomes an American citizen, and she gets welfare, $500 a month for the baby. If she has 2, it's around 900. Well, God's way would be ship them back. See? But no, just like ancient Israel, they didn't want to hear. All right, so you can read the rest of it. It also has to do with ox goring, what to do with that. It has to do with case of a trespass. What if an animal comes in and destroys your crop? Whatever that may be. What if your donkey or horse runs away, or your cow runs away? Well, then, if it comes to someone else, his neighbor is to keep it. Okay? If it's stolen from him while you're renting an ox, let's pick it up here, verse 10. Let's see how fair God is. If a man delivers to his neighbor a donkey or an ox or a sheep or any animal to keep, and it dies or is hurt or is driven away, no one seeing, an oath of the Lord shall be between both of them that he has not put his hand to his neighbor's goods. And the owner of it shall accept it, he shall not make it good. And if it's stolen from him, he shall make full restitution to the owner of it. In other words, if you're watching someone's property and it's stolen, and you haven't been watching it, you're going to pay the full amount. That'll solve a lot of problems. If it is torn in pieces, let him bring it for witness, and he shall make good that which was torn. If a man borrows it from his neighbor, and it is hurt and dies, the owner of it, and the owner of it is not with it, he shall surely make restitution. If the owner is with it, he shall not make restitution, for it was for hire, it came for its hire. Now, verse 16, if a man lures a virgin who is not promised and lies with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. They didn't have shotguns there, so this is not a shotgun wedding, but this is a sword and spear enforced wedding, with this exception. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins and probably child support. You shall not allow a sorceress to live. Anyone lying with an animal shall surely be put to death. See how you solve all the perversion problems? There would be no such thing as a gay community if they followed God's way. Just think how few homosexuals there would be around. See? All right. Verse 20. Anyone sacrificing to a god, except it be unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. You shall neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way, and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall burn, and I will kill with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your sons fatherless. Now you see, those are righteous laws. This keeps everything in perspective, doesn't it? If you lend money, now this is contrary to the banking system today. If you lend money to one of my people who is poor among you, you shall not be to him as a money lender, neither shall you lay upon him interest. And if you at all take your neighbor's clothing as a pledge, you shall deliver it to him by the time the sun goes down, for that it is his only clothing. It is his clothing for his skin. In what shall he sleep? And it will be, if he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. Now notice, you shall not revile God's judges. Now it says God in the King James, but of course you're not to revile God. This is God's judges, nor curse the ruler of your people. Then chapter 23, doesn't want you gossiping. No false reports. Just think how this would be executed against the government media today, the Obama media. You shall not raise a false report. Oh, Huffington would go out of business too, wouldn't she? Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Anita Hill against Clarence Thomas. And also, prosecutors, they prosecute and put people away because they need so many convictions a year. And a lot of people get put away that shouldn't be there. And a lot of people that should be there are not put there. See? Now notice. Do not put your hand with the wicked. Okay, verse 2. You shall not follow a multitude to do evil. In other words, whatever the people want, if it's evil, you don't follow them to do it. Neither shall you testify in a cause in order to side with many, so as to pervert judgment. See, if you just had these laws and all these are good laws, read them, they're great laws. And if the country had them in the letter of the law, because, see, all sovereign countries, which Israel was a sovereign country at that time, God gave, as we'll see a little later, with the covenant that he established with Moses, not Moses, but Noah, after the flood, God gave the death penalty execution to men to carry out. And here are the guidelines to do it, you see, right here. Neither shall you be partial to a poor man in his cause, so you don't distribute the wealth around. Now notice, here's what God requires. He requires you to be honest and forthright in everything. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall claim it as yours because he's your enemy. No, you shall surely bring it back to him again. And he'll probably make friends with you, right? If you see the donkey of him who hates you lying under his burden and would hold back from helping him, you shall surely help him. You shall not pervert the judgment due to your poor in his cause. Keep far from you a false matter. Today's media is out of business already, right? And Congress is out of business already. Okay? And do not kill the innocent and righteous. Who are the most innocent that they are killing? Babies in abortion? For I will not justify the wicked. You shall take no bribe, for the bribe blinds the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Boy, just think if they posted that in every office of every senator, every representative, everyone who is running any executive department at all, and put that in the president's office, the vice president's office, the secretary of treasury, etc. Now, let's come to chapter 24. Okay? Oh, we'll come to chapter 24 a little later. All right. Now, let's come to the New Testament. And let's look and see the words, commitment, and belief. Let's come first of all to John the 12th chapter. John 12. This is why we have the Gospels, and this is why we have all of the epistles that God inspired to be, so we know what we are to do. But here in John 12, here's some of the words of the covenant that you are to believe. Verse 44. After talking, no, let's go back and pick up a little bit here. Verse 37. Although he had done many miracles in their presence, they did not believe in him. See, miracles convinced no one. So that the word of Isaiah the prophet should be fulfilled, who said, Lord, who has believed our report? So there you're dealing with belief. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this very reason they could not believe, because again Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that they would not see with their eyes, understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I would heal them. So a lot of people want to have God on their side, but the truth is, if you're not on God's side, you don't make the commitment, you don't believe his words, it's not going to happen. The reverse is going to happen. Verse 41, Isaiah said these things when he saw his glory and spoke concerning him. But even so, many among the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, politics, they did not confess him, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. So here's what Jesus said, so that we all know. This is part of the words to which we need to believe and commit. The one who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. And the one who sees me sees him who sent me. I've come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. But if anyone hears my words and does not believe, and as we saw here, does not make a commitment, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Now here's the key, verse 48. This is part of the words of the covenant, so that we know that we must make the commitment after counting the cost, and we must believe. The one, verse 48, who rejects me and does not receive my words as one who judges him, the word which I have spoken, that shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken from myself, but the Father who sent me gave me commandment himself what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, whatever I speak exactly as the Father has told me. That's pretty powerful, see. You don't believe the words of Christ, and if you don't make a commitment to it, and you don't obey him, you're not dealing with another man who is filled with the law of sin and death like all of us, and you're having a bargain or something like that. You're dealing with God. God who cannot lie. God who is going to give us eternal life. We may have eternal life, you see. Now, words of the covenant. Just like God gave all the words of the covenant and the laws that we had a summary of and read a little bit of in Exodus 21 through 23, here you've got the same thing. John, this is why on the Passover night we cover John 14, 15, 16, and 17. These are the words of the covenant. Right here. But we're not going to go through it. It's not the Passover time, so we're not going to get involved in it. Okay. But these are the words. God makes the covenant. Here's what we are to live by. It's, and God made sure it was written down. We've got it in black and white. Just like this is greater than making a contract. If you go sign a contract to buy something or purchase something, this is it. This is for eternal life or eternal death. Now, next time we'll see some other things concerning some more of the 12 steps of covenant law. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.